Welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast, where we believe being together, being encouraged, and being equipped matters.
Hey everyone, welcome again to the Refuel Worship Podcast. I am your host, David Cummings, and I'm here with my friends and co-hosts.
Hey, it's Brent Thomas.
And this is Chris Lehane. Whoop, whoop. We are super excited to be, I don't know what you just did.
We're
there.
So excited. Dave, we got a whoop whoop from Dave.
I know, we missed like a week from being together and something crazy comes from Dave.
Just a little whoop whoop.
Yeah. I don't even think the kids call it whoop whoop anymore. That's like a not good safe term to use.
But my bad.
Anyway, hey Dave. So we're together. This is the Refuel Worship Podcast. And so it's really come out of the Refuel Worship Conference. Tell us a little bit about that for maybe a first-time listener who hasn't heard. We've got an event that's coming up here in January. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, Refuel Conference. It's an annual conference for worship and production leaders and their teams. We've been doing it now a number of years. I think this is coming up on year number 10. We're excited to celebrate that. Excited for the guests that are going to be there this year. Josh Baldwin, Meredith Andrews, Paul Balash, John Egan, Kyle and Lauren Smith, and a whole host of other partners and breakout session facilitators. It's going to be an amazing time together. Refuelconference.com. If you're just listening and kind of like curious about what Refuel is all about, go to refuelconference.com for information, tickets as well. And you can email us and contact us if you want to bring a group, because there are group rates available as well. The purpose of Refuel is to create space for worship leaders and their teams to be together, to be encouraged, and be equipped to continue lead their local church in worship. And that's kind of what we do each and every week. Sunday, we lead teams, lead worship. And so I thought it might be kind of fun to talk about the highs and lows from our last week or two in ministry. We're just real guys that are trying to serve the local church and serve the Lord in worship. So what are some of the highs and lows from your last week or two?
Well, before we get to that, I don't know if you caught this, Brent. It's always good, you know, when people like pick out something that you do or, you know, accidentally. It sounded like a minute ago that David said tickles.
Yeah.
And so if you want to go to Refuel and come to the conference, Dave will provide tickles.
Full
for
of laughs.
You.
We got good laughs at Refuel.
That's right. We like to encourage in multitudes.
tickets. And there is an early bird deadline coming up,
Dave. Yes, there is. November 16th is the early bird deadline. That's when you want to get tickets for either for the Friday night evening of worship or Saturday or the whole event. Go to refuelconference.com. For tickets.
I like it.
And information.
Tickles sold separately.
I mean, because we always, as worship leaders, say all the words and phrases correctly all the time.
Yeah, we never miss it.
Nobody ever comes up and texts you like, hey, it was really funny. Anyway, sorry. Highs and lows. Brent, share some highs and lows that you have.
Highs and lows. I mean, I think it's a weekly thing for us as worship leaders. Things, you know, sit up in ministry. Things kind of sit down in the depth sometimes where you're frustrated by things, or maybe you just want to do better. I've been feeling a lot of those in a lot of areas. And I think that's a good sign of leadership, that you're not just coasting. You're not just content with where you're at. Highs for me, we've been trying to put feet on the ground, get the canoe in the water and start paddling with songwriting. I'm doing the motion right now. If you could see me, we're all paddling along. Now, like songwriting is just, it's a burden on my heart. It's been something I've been pursuing for a lot of years in ministry. And it's hard because the urgency feels so low on it. Meaning, unless you put it on your calendar, I had a mentor who'd always say, you're not a songwriter unless you're calendar says you're a songwriter. Mm. So you got to put the time on the calendar. We're saying, this is what we're going to do. And so we've been trying to do that as a team and bringing volunteers to that. And it's just been such a sweet time. So we just finished a 2-day retreat, kind of up on Lake Michigan and seeking the Lord, trying to write songs. No, like what all I told the team was, we're writing songs for the church to sing to the Lord in worship. So like whatever that looks like. And we talked about different themes that, you know, aren't super present in worship categories, like songs like lament and songs that talk about confession and repentance and things like that. So we were like kind of aiming for how can we talk about these things in songs that's fresh. And then we just had a sweet time of worship of singing those songs together. So that was just, you walk away from a weekend like that, just like, man, I love that this is what I get to do and what I get to spend my time on. I think lows are kind of the flip coin of that is I never feel like there's enough time to equip my team. I always feel like I'm missing it with helping somebody grow as a musician, as a leader, spiritually. Like I'm always like, there's more I could have done this week. And so I think I've kind of been just living in a season of frustration that I'm somehow missing it. And this would be a great time to like, you know, insert an ad break for like a certain magical pill type ministry thing that would work, but there isn't one. There's tons of great resources out there. We'll talk about them. We've mentioned a few in previous episodes as well. So there's things you can do, obviously, but I think the weight of leadership is you're constantly feeling like I need to grow in my leadership, but I also need to help others grow and I want them to develop. And I want them to think back on whatever season looks like in ministry for this, because not everybody's going to be there the whole time. People come and go in ministry and they walk alongside you for a season, they leave. And there's just a sense of like, while they're here, while this season is what it is with the talented people I have around me, like, am I maximizing those? Mm. Sometimes I just grow frustrated that I'm not doing enough. So that would kind of be, you know, call it a low, but, the opportunities there, but high highs, low lows.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you sharing that, Brent. I think, I mean, I don't know about Dave, but I especially on the lows, like I feel that sometimes, you know, as well, like everybody has so much going on between, you know, ourselves as having families and trying to take care of our families, but then the opportunities to connect with people. And I think we all know like schedules are busier. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to find those opportunities where you can get with a volunteer to do, you know, life and to encourage and challenge and help grow. So I appreciate you sharing that. I think for me, we're like, it's kind of both for me in this one area. So high and low, we are getting ready for a pretty significant audio video lighting upgrade here at our church. We've been kind of prepping. I think I mentioned in a previous episode, like we've got some renovations going on as a church. So lots of really cool stuff. I mean, there's people in and out of here that can definitely have more skills with hammers and saws than I do. Maybe I can just equate and go in and play a little tune for them on a guitar. But yeah, I mean, we're really excited about this and what it's going to be able to help us do on a worship end for our people, not just worship, but just the overall experience. So our team is excited, you know, I'm excited, but on that, at the same time, there's a low because it's like, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Not just, you know, when people are coming in and install, it's, you know, answering different questions on, hey, how do we do this? But then it's also on the front and backside, trying to think through all of the different changes, because we'll have a lot of different changes on equipment. And so it's trying to do what we can now to prepare for integrating all of those systems and new softwares, and then trying to figure out how do we train volunteers, because some of the stuff we're going, it's not apples to apples. It's right. Like apples to bananas. And so we're trying to walk through those things. And the timeline is just about 3.5-4 weeks before everything's kind of in and we go live. And so there's a little bit of stress on that end of like, okay, so once everything's in, you know, there's that expectation that everybody's like, all right, now we got everything. And everybody in the church is like, everything, it's supposed to sound amazing, like you were in heaven. And so we're trying to, so there's a little bit of pressure on that side. And in like we mentioned earlier, like there's still life that we have with our own families and things like that. So definitely, I mean, it's super exciting. And at the same point, like just trying to prepare, like sometimes you go home and you close your eyes for a minute and you're like, oh man, I got to get this done. And so just trying to decompress a little bit and kind of go along for the journey. So that's me.
Yeah, that's good. I'm always reminded in those seasons, like I have to remind myself to give myself grace.
Yeah.
But because, I mean, there's always more to be done, right? So highs and lows for me. One of my lows was I think it was about a week or so ago when the three of us were golfing and my golf game was horrible. That was a low for me. No. Yeah, but the high was getting to hang with you guys, and there was a lot of laughter, and it was a beautiful day. Now, that has nothing to do with ministry, so I'll pivot a little bit.
Well, just to be fair so that everybody knows, like, Dave, that was the only time you've been out this season.
It was, and it was the only time we've ever golfed together.
Yeah, it is true. That is true.
Now, you, Chris, and I, we've golfed together, and we should spend a whole podcast episode talking about the funny moments. There's some really funny moments. True.
Yeah.
There was one time on the course that I was remembering one of those moments, and I was laughing so hard I was crying.
For 5 minutes. Like, you wouldn't stop laughing. I was like, can we play golf? We have people behind us. Yeah. But we did learn something about Brent. He's a left-handed player.
He is,
which is so weird. I mean,
do you play guitar left-handed?
No, I don't. People always ask me that.
Yeah, I'm left-handed,
just
the same way, but I golf right-handed, which is my excuse for being so terrible at it. Yeah. But then I play guitar like you right-handed.
Yeah.
So
I think it's just because both of you guys have sinned and apparently, oh, just kidding.
Wow.
Hey, there's only a few of us left in the world, man. Holding out. No, I was usually excused. People ask me that, like, oh, why don't you play guitar left-handed? And I was like, my dad didn't have a left-handed guitar hanging around. Like, you just had to learn. But
I think when I learned how to play guitar, I was like 14. I didn't even know that there was a left-handed guitar.
I just knew Jimi Hendrix flipped it upside down. That's all I knew. I didn't know why, but yeah.
Why don't you play it like Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'm missing my full potential as a guitar player.
If you played left-handed, maybe
I'd be way better.
So in ministry highs, and although that was kind of ministry, but like very practically ministry, I think a high and a low for me have to do with people. There's a young guy who we've been talking to he just graduated from high school last May or in the fall now. And we've been talking to him about getting involved. He's an electric guitar player. And we've had him on the on-ramp process as we talk about. And this week will be the first time that he's playing on the team, and he's excited about it. He's invested in some nice gear. So that's cool. Whenever someone new joins the team, and that's always an exciting time for me. Now the low is kind of the flip side. Recently, this was about a week ago. We had to say goodbye to a friend of mine. Man, I think I've known this guy for about 24 years, who've been a part of a team for a long time, and he and his wife and kids decided that we think that in this next season, God's leading us to a new church, and we're always open-handed, but that's kind of a low, you know, when you got somebody that you've journeyed for a long time, you've got a lot of history and relationship and memories and serving together, and that's always kind of like, oh man, as a leader, you go, oh man, that's hard, but you bless him, and I'm excited for him and his family, but that's hard too, so... in that I remember that like there's always people that God brings to you to invest in, to steward, to empower, to coach, to lead. But then there's also people that at some point God says, hey, it's time for them to maybe transition to a different season of life, ministry, different church sometimes. And so we also have to be excited and bless them as well. So highs and lows for me aren't just a golf game, but sometimes in ministry there are highs and lows as well.
And sometimes ministry is like a golf game.
Yeah, sometimes you hit. Yeah, that's for,
we could definitely unpack that.
Yeah, that's the episode. Yeah.
So next segment, I'm going to lead into this a little bit because the last episode we talked about preparing our hearts and how that factors into everything that we do. So if you want to hear a little bit more about our conversation that we had about the importance of preparing your heart and how we go about that each week, listen to the last episode. But this episode, we'd like to talk a little bit more about really practically, how do we go about preparing our plan each week? So we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Give me 14 of them right now.
Tips, tricks, and tools. That's this segment. And in this segment, we're going to talk about preparing our plan and how we go about that each and every week. I shared with you guys earlier, I'll kick us off and then I'll just kind of pause and throw it to you guys. Now, we plan, so let me ask you this question very directly. We plan week of, meaning that we actually don't finalize our plan for our services until really the end of the day, Tuesday.
Yeah.
This would be the week before. Before we're planning and leading these services. So we plan week of. Is that the way you guys operate, or do you handle it differently?
Yeah, I talked a little bit kind of near the end of that last episode that we go in like a 4-week chunk. So we pull up a doc where we're looking at the last 8 weeks, so the last kind of 2 months, and then we're looking ahead to the next month. And we're trying to do that meeting would happen where we're sitting, we're looking at those next 4 weeks, 2 weeks before the first week. That sounds like way too much math going on. So follow me with that. But 2 weeks before that first Sunday would hit of the 4 week block, we're meeting and talking about those 4 weeks. So it gives us some time. So yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like surprising to me. I have anxiety just thinking about your schedule a little bit, Dave, but we're, again, different context, different culture, to think like, the week of and communicating all that. So props to you for getting that done in the week of, but yeah, we try to be a little more planned. Now, again, like, and you would probably say this too, it doesn't always happen exactly like that because of schedule of, pastors, even who's preaching, what are they preaching on? What does that service look like? Is it a little bit, we want to do a baptism service that weekend all of a sudden, and now everything's got to kind of shift. So we always say, we're going to plan for the 4 weeks and then We're going to trust the Spirit the week of, meaning we're going to come in and Tuesday we have a sit down morning meeting with our whole team. We look at that service and we talk through, is that still the plan? Is that what we want to do? Any changes? We were thinking that song, you know, 6 weeks ago, we're here now. Is that still the right element and things like that? So
that's good.
Yeah. For me, I think I've currently been at this church for about just about 2 years. And so I think before, you know, we had an awesome volunteer and his wife who were leading. And so things looked a little different for them. And so I kind of got the opportunity to kind of create the culture of how we do things. Now, in previous contexts, I'd say we were probably more like a week out, like Sunday, the Sunday leading into the following Sunday, we try to get music out to the team or at least a general idea or by Monday. Here, I've tried to be about 10 to 14 days out. And then again, depending on season and things like that. So I'd say ideally, I'd like to try to be about 2 weeks out to at least give them opportunity to kind of be thinking through, you know, as teams kind of rotate, if you're not at a place where you have the same people every week and you're rotating. So I try to give people a little bit extra time. And again, knowing that even schedules now for people are maybe a little tighter and busier. But yeah, it doesn't always work out. So usually I come in on, if it ends up being a week or 2 weeks out, I try to get everything out by Sunday or Monday morning early to the team so they can be scheduled. And then if we have a midweek rehearsal, that way they have a couple of days to kind of listen to it. We come in, we rehearse, and then we come back together Sunday morning and then kind of walk through again. So Wednesday is really kind of like, all right, we want everybody to come in, kind of having a game plan, understanding the songs, what their part is. And then Sunday morning is really kind of the polishing of some things that maybe transitions that we didn't walk through through there. But in the midst of that too, then on Tuesday mornings, we'll meet with the teaching staff and pull together and kind of walk through announcements. And is this the direction we're going? Is there anything we want to do on the close? Like this last week, we took a moment to just, we're talking about prayer, and sometimes that gets lost in the midst of things. And so we took about 3 to 5 minutes at the end of our service to pray and just create a moment there. That doesn't happen every week. But it was something that we talked about in that Tuesday service. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Give me a day or two to kind of process if that's the way I want to close the message. And so you just kind of walk through it there. And even if it was like that morning of, you know, we try to navigate like, yeah, that's totally makes sense. Let's make it work.
So. Yeah. You guys both have a midweek rehearsal?
Ours is on Wednesday evening most weeks.
Yeah.
Usually it is, but in the midst of the renovations, we've ended up doing 7:15 on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So we gained about an extra 30 minutes. Usually we meet at 7:45. So
yeah, ours is Thursday nights. And then, yeah, we're kind of similar. It's just interesting to me. We like when we don't have that rehearsal, we feel it on Sunday. And I think you guys would agree with that. Like when you can prepare your plan as much as possible, but then like getting to the, like walking everybody through that, like and seeing it in a live setting. Like, I think that's always interesting. You're always like, oh, I wish we hadn't canceled the rehearsal, or I wish I would have called them in earlier, or things like that. I think that's a big piece of our planning too, is like not negating that the plan in action could look a little different than what it looked like in that Tuesday meeting or whatever, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, sometimes there's that necessity for like I said, like right now we're in a season where we've had a couple of weeks where we planned a Wednesday night midweek rehearsal, and then it's like, hey, we're going to need to utilize the stage, and so we're going to tear everything off.
And the contractors are coming in, and yeah, they're doing this, yeah.
And so to have that extra, you know, 30 minutes, the trick that I've told people is like, as long as we know we have from 7:15 to like 8:30 that can just be rehearsal time, we're golden.
Yeah.
The problem comes when it's like you're ready at 7:15 and then, the computer's not working. Yeah. And so we got to spend 15 minutes on that to get that working for the service. And then it gets crunched. And some of it comes down to your team. You know, if you have people that are playing together or have played together a lot, you can get through a lot of material really quick versus like if you're adding somebody new to the team, both for them and for that Sunday, it's like everybody's kind of in a tense mode. We had that a couple of weeks ago where somebody was joining us for the first time. And so it was like, I haven't unpacked with them but like they did a great job, but I'm in the midst of, I'm kind of wondering like, okay, like how did they feel that morning?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a Wednesday night rehearsal. So.
For sure. Yeah. I always think it's interesting with like tech stuff too. As a worship leader, like you don't account for some of that preparation in your week. Cause we talked about preparing your heart. Mm-hmm. You could spend your whole week getting your heart ready to worship, but then there's the plan aspect of coming in and making sure, you know, simple things like lyrics, like who's, do you have somebody who's in charge of making sure the lyrics are in the right order and the right arrangement. And those are all things like that go on in the worship leader's mind with everything we're setting up versus the stigma of you just pick five songs and go home. Right. Like, you know, like there's a lot to that plan.
Yeah. So, I'll rewind a little bit for us, cause I was maybe I shared an oversimplification of our process. We have a similar document, that lays out the upcoming, like right now that document goes through the first of the year.
Oh, nice.
And it's just sort of like, here's the Sunday. Here's the teaching theme. We've got our Christmas theme. Hello, Christmas is around the corner. Our Christmas theme is kind of all laid out. Hark the herald. Go, Chris.
Dude, Christmas. Okay. I don't think about it until closer to Thanksgiving.
These shoes. Oh, boy.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's a Christian song.
Silver bells. Okay. What was I saying? Oh, our plan. So yeah, we have that document. It's, you know, we just use Google Docs. So there's like multiple people that can access it, right? So that's a really practical, simple tool. And that the what we're going to highlight, like there's a baptism service for us coming up. There's a service where we're focusing on highlighting. We have a ministry for foster and adoptive care families. And so we've got a Sunday we're going to focus in on that. So like some of those big, I would call them the really big rocks, themes. Like we've got a document that lays out that. But it isn't until Wednesday that we actually go to the, myself and our other worship staff, we go to a whiteboard on Monday morning, week of, and we begin to map out most of our services. Now, every once in a while, there's something different. Like this Sunday is going to be a very different service for us that's going to focus on our kids' ministry, trying to tell that story really well. And so I met with our kids pastor and our teaching pastor 3 weeks ago to talk about some of the big elements in the flow of that service. But it wasn't until Monday and then Tuesday of this week that we finalized the worship songs that we're going to be doing. But then on Tuesday morning, sounds like we all meet on Tuesday mornings with our teaching pastor.
I think for most people, Tuesdays end up being like a typical staff day.
Yeah, it's meeting day all day.
Yeah.
So that's when we sit down and we look at the service plan and we kind of check in, is this still the flow? Is there anything we need to change? We talk about the close a lot. The teaching pastor sometimes will have kind of an idea on how he wants to kind of wrap up things. And then we'll plan that closing kind of song or closing moment. And then by the end of the day, Tuesday, that's when we're communicating. Everything is, we use, this will give us a chance to talk about as we prepare a plan, the tools we use. We use Dropbox and we put documents in there and MP3s in there. And then it's a shared Dropbox. So we just update that every week and the team has access to it. And so all of that information goes into that folder by Tuesday at the end of the day, about 4:35 o'clock. And then we notify the team, hey, as a reminder, you're on this week and the stuff's in Dropbox. And then Wednesday night, most weeks we have a Wednesday night rehearsal. They come in either at 7:30 in our one venue or 8 p.m. in our other venue. And we'll spend in about 75, sometimes 90 minutes normally between that window, that amount of time together rehearsing and praying together, praying for one another at the end. But that's kind of, that leads up to, basically that gets us from the plan to the rehearsal time for our services.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that happens for our team, for our volunteers. I know this probably isn't ideal between Tuesday at 5 and Wednesday at 7:30 when they come in fairly prepared, ready to rehearse, not just practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Planning Center is kind of our staple, and it's, you know, it's funny to look back on. So our church launched in 2009 and, I was there for kind of the core group phases with our worship pastor, who's now our lead pastor, as I serve as the worship pastor under him. And it was Dropbox in those early days. And I remember helping him design those run sheets that we would upload Dropbox. And it was like, we were creating everything from nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I remember getting the free planning center plan. You could have like 3 people, I think, as like administrators or something, and like 15 people in your database. So we would constantly delete people as the team grew. We would delete them.
So you could add
in the guy for that week and then delete him and add him back in. And you just, you know, as a church plant, you just navigate the budget of that. But now it's just a staple. We use it for everything. We use it for Bible studies throughout the week with like 3 people. It's like we put everything in there. It's just kind of our main communication tool. And so it's just a super helpful way for us. But our goal is, Tuesday is like our drop dead date that an email goes out going, hey, here's everything's uploaded. Here's the plan. Take a look at it. And then we have a Thursday night rehearsal that they're preparing for. And we use that word rehearsal intentionally. It's not practice.
So do we. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's expectation. We don't have chord charts on stage. We don't use music stands. And so there's an expectation that you're memorizing the majority. You can have music at rehearsal if you need it. And we'll talk through certain things. But the expectation is that you've listened and learned and thought through those songs for the week.
Yeah. For me, we use Planning Center as well. I can't remember like when. I think one of the previous churches I was at, they were using it. And so that was something I was like, all right, I've been wanting to use it. And now like I have it already available. And then it was a little bit of a learning curve to get into it. But that's what we use here currently. And then usually Monday, like I said, like we have all the music and things in chord charts. And then, you know, like what I'll try to do is we use a couple other resources. So we use Worship Online to give tutorials, you know, for people as they're trying to learn parts, things like that. And then we also use Loop Community's Prime app. And so usually I'll set up a set list that has all the songs and then they can go in. And so really they can rehearse that. I know there's other, you know, other services out there that use that, but you know, if they want to practice on their own, they can practice with like the set list and the tracks to kind of get ready for our rehearsal on Wednesday. And we try to do the same thing. Like, hey, this is, I mean, again, it's all about honoring people's time, right? So if you're coming in, you haven't looked at anything, then a lot of the other people who have, you're in a sense dishonoring the work that they put in. Yeah. And so it's not that opportunity to practice, but Monday a reminder goes out to our team, and then we try to have those things all set up for them so that they have, you know, 24 to 36 hours to kind of look at things and prepare for Wednesday. And then we'll try to talk through as much as we know at the time for as far as like, hey, you know, this is how the close is going to go. And then we always say, you know, if something changes, I'll either try to send a text and let them know, like if we're going to make a change on a song or something like that, just to give them a heads up, or even a key. You know, I'm sure you guys have had sometimes where people are sick. Like from Wednesday to Sunday, I'm super sick. And so we might lower, you know, a key or something like that if we're able to do that. But just, I'm always trying to think of, you know, what can I do to try to help set our volunteers up to give them the best access to tools. I mean, the reality, there's so many different tools available now, not even, you know, paid subscription stuff, but like the YouTubes, like just sometimes, YouTubes. Yeah. Like if I can't find something, or like say Worship Online doesn't have a song that has a tutorial, usually I'll scour like YouTube, and 9 times out of 10, I can find somebody who's done like a cover or instrumental.
Some 13-year-old kid who's playing it better than I ever will.
Yeah. Yeah. Jimi Hendrix with a left-handed upside down guitar. But yeah, I mean, it like that stuff, when I was first starting to do worship with student ministry, it wasn't even available. So I'm like trying to read the tablature and I'm like, this is Greek to me. I don't understand what this is. So, but yeah, that's a little bit of what we do.
I was just going to ask on the people side, you guys both, do you plan your people based on availability or do you have rotations? I think, and our team sizes are different, so I think that plays into it. But I was just curious how you
like for scheduling. You're saying,
yeah.
So pop around. We have about 60 on our worship team. That's not tech reduction or choir. But how many do you guys have about on your team?
I'd say probably 25 to 30.
Okay,
yeah, right. Or like 40 to 50.
So what we do, and again, we don't use Planning Center, so our process is a little different. But the team will get an email, and we ask our team to send us their unavailable dates. And then there's an Excel spreadsheet that information is then input into. Yeah. And then Jess Watts, who her and I have worked together now for almost 15 years, she's the one who normally builds out the schedule. So then we build teams based upon availability, and we have to build a team for the worship center and our connection service. So each week we have between 16 and 20 people that we're scheduling each Sunday to serve on our two different teams. So it's really based upon availability, not we don't have like team A, team B, team three, A, B, C, whatever.
A, B, C, Delta,
I can't talk.
Niner.
But
and I hear a Niner,
and that was purposeful for me. I'll kind of go take a little bit of a sidebar. That was purposeful for me because I did not want to communicate. Oh, here's the A team,
right?
And then here's the not A team,
right?
And when I came in, it's been a number of years ago. There was a little bit of that, like we are the best, and then there's the rest. And so we kind of went entirely away from the. From 1, 2, and 3 teams, you know, yeah. That rotated. So that was just the way the approach we took, and we do schedule 6 weeks out.
Oh, nice.
So we do plan out on that.
Look at that. Yeah,
yeah. So we put out a schedule 6 weeks in advance.
They just don't know what they're playing. So
they just don't know what songs you're playing.
And I'm sure that schedule never changes. Like, you never have anybody who cancels or.
Yeah, everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
It changes not every week, but almost. I think this week we didn't have anybody change, but last week there were multiple.
Yeah.
So
I'm just curious because we're in a season where our team has grown, and there's kind of a core team that's been in place for a few years, and we've kind of added and subtracted over the last couple of years and stuff, but we kind of have our core team, and we started just finding ourselves scheduling on kind of a rotation basis without trying, based on just people's life schedules and how things kind of fell into place. And so we're like, it's actually kind of, it'd be more helpful to our volunteers to say, hey, here's the weeks we're going to try and schedule you each month, and obviously decline those if it doesn't work if you're on vacation or whatever. But just so you know, so team one is first Sunday of the month, team two. And it was kind of like, let's just roll with that first. So we just rolled that out, and it's kind of like, it's not messing with our people where they're like rejecting it, but it's just kind of, they're a little bit like, well, what do I do if I can't serve that week? And like, it's just like what we used to do. Like, we'd send you the request and you'd decline it. So same thing, put your blockouts in, that type of stuff. But I think our heart was like, we're spending a lot of time on the logistics of getting the team scheduled when we could just look at it a little bit further out and say, well, what if we just planned on this team for each week of the month and then adjust it as needed and things like that. So,
yeah, I think for me, like I'll usually put out requests. Like I try to schedule sometimes 3 to 4 months out if I can make that happen. And so I'll ask for blockout dates. And the nice thing about Planning Center, Dave, so if you ever get it, you might like this feature.
I'm sensing there's some job security for Dave and not using Planning Center. It's like...
But no, I mean, the nice thing is once people put their blockouts in, usually I'll send like, hey, an email saying put your stuff in by this time, and then the week of I'll send a reminder, and then there might be a couple people where I'll double check. Like, I'm like, oh, I wonder if they put their stuff in. But the nice thing is, like, if I accidentally, you know, put them down, it tells me, like, there's a red flashy light that says you can't schedule. But I also like, there's a couple dynamics. Maybe you guys have this, but like, we have families. So we have a husband and wife, and some of them have multiple children.
Can't serve
on the same Sunday. Yep. And so like that, I think, creates maybe the biggest dynamic for me, because remembering that in the process, like, oh, I can't put so-and-so on the same week as so-and-so because they've got kids. Like, we have one family who has three, you know, between husband and wife and one of their older children who serve. And so it's trying to work through that.
Well, now, Chris, Planning Center has a feature.
They can
mark their serving preferences and say, I don't want to serve in the same plan with so-and-so.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. So I knew they had like the every other week or
so
things like that.
We have the same thing. Wife and husband couple will pop up if we've scheduled her for keys. It'll be like, can't schedule him because she's not.
Dude, you are so smart. I can't believe I missed that.
Fascinating.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Or you can use Dave's Excel spreadsheet, whatever you want.
I might need to borrow Dave's if I want to create more stress in my life.
He's got a real life human looking at it. We're using AI this
time. That's right. That's right.
You would think that this segment Tricks and Tools was brought to you by Planning Center or Dropbox, but it's not.
I mean, it is a tool.
It's definitely not brought to you by Excel spreadsheets.
But I do feel like, I feel a little guilty. We've been talking a lot about Planning Center, but they're not coming to Refuel. They're not a partner of Refuel. Yeah. But do you know who is? And so if you're listening out there and you've looked into Planning Center and for some reason it hasn't worked for you, maybe it's a monetary, the money it costs.
Yeah.
There is another reason. resource out there, and they are a partner of Refuel, and it's called Worship Tools. Yeah. Worship Tools, I think it's worshiptools.com. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure if you Google Worship Tools, you'll find them. And it's a fantastic resource, and you can do a lot for free.
Yeah.
You can do more with their free version than, we love Planning Center, you guys use it all the time, than what you can do with Planning Center's free version or even their entry-level version. We actually looked into going with Worship Tools because it actually would work a little bit better for us because we have multiple venues.
Mm. Yes, that is a thing.
Where Planning Center, that doesn't work, that's actually been one of the hindrances for us. It's harder to do multiple venues in Planning Center than it is with Worship Tools. So,
yeah. It is worshiptools.com, and they're good partners with Loop Community and Sunday Sounds, which are great resources as well.
Yep.
And I would agree with you.
All three of them are coming to Refuel this year.
Incredible. So I would agree with that. As a guy who spent a lot of years in the church plant phase, Worship Tools, if I could go back to my old self and if Worship Tools had been around then, I would recommend that as a beginning resource. Our church ecosystem lives within that Planning Center realm with database, and Worship Tools is expanding in that as well with like church database and even presentation software, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely better than Excel. So
way better.
That's right, Dave. We'll pray through it.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, don't listen to those guys.
We love you, Jess.
So that's a little bit on the preparing your plan side of things. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about continuing to prepare your people, preparing your hands. We'll probably touch on kind of how we approach rehearsals. I'd like to talk about that.
That'd be great.
I think we probably all have a little different approach to that. I might have some helpful information to pass on to others. And then the last thing we'll talk about in a couple more weeks is preparing for change, because we talked about this even here today, how you can plan something, but then things don't always go as you planned, and sometimes they need to be changed. Sometimes they need to change, and so it's important for us to be flexible and adaptable, and help our teams be flexible and adaptable as well. So,
I think too, like, I mean, some of this stuff, there's going to be probably specklings of like all these things as we talk about, you know, all this stuff over the next couple of weeks, because, you know, we talk about song selection and how do you pick songs and stuff like that. I mean, that all goes into preparing your people, your hands and change too in that process. And so, like, I think from week to week, there's going to be a little bit of overlap. I think that just makes everything, that continuity of how everything's kind of connected to one another. So
yeah, that's true. Yep.
That's really good. Maybe we'll be able to get to like how we approach incorporating new songs in this discussion as well at some point. So
yeah, I'd love to hear, you know, like Dave and Brent, I know both of you guys have written songs and stuff like that. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a little bit, but even incorporating, you know, it's not just like the new songs that are out there that other artists are doing, but incorporating new songs that you're writing. Cause I think there's a little bit of a different dynamic for that too, as you guys might, and who knows, that might be easier than other stuff. So that I'd love to hear dialogue on that later down the road.
Yeah. Now, that's not always easy. Like this Sunday, we're actually going to be praying over, we're going to be, baby dedication will be happening in our services. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a worship pastor out there, worship leader, you know that tends to attract maybe some new people, guests, people that aren't necessarily part of your church every week, right?
Yep.
And so often on those weeks, we try and be a little more guest friendly, but this Sunday, we're opening our service with, it's an original song that we wrote a couple of years ago called Nothing Impossible. Our church knows it really well. They sing it. It's become an anthem in our church. But if you didn't go to our church, you probably never heard that song.
Yeah.
So we were dialoguing. We ended up sticking with that song because we said, you know what, even for a guest who may not know that song, if they're coming in for the first time and they hear everybody singing it, they're going to go like, oh, this church values singing, even though they may not know that song in and of itself. But yeah, it would be fascinating. Maybe we can unpack that a little bit about how we go about approaching how we plan the songs in our services, because we use some circles. I think you guys use a different model that has some numbers to it, and we include that as well. But let's talk about that next week, if that makes sense to y'all. And then we'll talk about our rehearsals. So we want to leave you today with just a thought. I want to leave you with a word for the week, this week. And it's something really simple. The phrase is remember to remember. Remember to remember. I think in ministry, the week in, week out grind, sometimes it's really easy to forget the small wins, the small moments where you go, God, you were at work there. And I'll give you an example of one that happened just this last Sunday. I'm walking out. It's 12:35. I'm walking out to my car. The parking lot by then is about empty. I'd been there since about 6:40 that morning. I'm ready to go home. I get in my car and a red Toyota Camry pulls up. There's a lady. She puts the passenger window down. She motions for me. I get out of my car. I'm like, I'm really ready to go home. But I walk over and she introduces herself and says, hey, I just wanted to say how much I appreciated the worship at your church, at our church here. And she said, there's something different about this place. And she says, there are moments in worship where I sense God's presence in such a powerful, personal way that, like, I think the phrase she uses, it makes me melt to my knees. And she said, she said, there's something different about this place. And so we had a small, short dialogue after that, and I thanked her. And I walked away going, there's something different about this place. Lord, what's different about this place? And the little win in it for me was just a reminder that God's presence makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And so for me, that little win this week, remembering to remember, was like, we prepare the plan, we work hard at this stuff, but it's really God when his presence shows up in a service and he chooses for whatever reason to just grace a moment with his presence and people connect to him through that. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful, life-changing moment for people. And so I sent that note to my team this week going, hey, God is using you. God is using you. So remember to remember. That's a takeaway. But also, remember to tell others about that.
Yeah,
because you need to share that with others, with your team. So I sent that to our team this week, just thanking them for the investment, the time that they put into preparing, and it matters. And for that person who comes on Sundays and sits in our services, she connected with the Lord, and that was worth remembering. And so I just want to encourage you today, remember the little wins. Remember the little wins, because life ministry has some tough moments, right? It has tough moments. And if you're not in one, you probably will be at some point. So remember the victories. Remember to remember the good things that God is doing in your ministry. And you might even need to kind of write those things down, because in the deepest, darkest moments, you need to remember the good moments, the God moments. So this week and next week, would you choose to remember to remember? So thanks again for listening, everybody. It's been fun to be with you guys. Chris and Brent, thank you for your thoughts and sharing.
Absolutely, man.
Until next time, everybody, stay connected and stay encouraged.